Tonight I wanted to talk about a different way to experience life. For pretty much all of my life, I've been looking at everything as getting from point A to point B to point C, yada yada. The idea that it all adds up and the end goal is one day you go to heaven, which would be point Z or point exclamation point or point uppercase A. I don't know if it's a new thing or what, volume two. It's always been this narrative. For some reason, this year, it's turned into something else. It's turned into, instead of experiencing your life through this narrative plot that you star in, it's been more about experience and impression and mood. It's more sound and color. It's more art that you explore than this in moments than it is this narrative. And it's been an interesting way to live. I think it's calmed me down a lot, this experiential way to live as opposed to a narrative way to live, maybe an impressionistic way to live. And I don't feel like I'm chasing moments or pleasure in this hedonistic way to find these like moments to find meaning, just experiencing the world in a different way. I'm engaged with the world in a different way. I'm interacting with reality in a different way. How about that? Is this just me? Is this something you've ever thought about? Do you think about your life as a storyline or kind of this plot that you're in as a narrative? I'm going to do this, then this, then this. Or is it, do you experience your life more as this lunch feels good? I like being with these people. I like God. I like beauty. I don't like being bored. My back hurts. How do you experience your life? How would you describe it? I'm very curious if I'm the only one that has these weird feelings. I think part of the reason I've been thinking these things is I've been reading more Eastern writing than I used to. I've been reading a lot of more of everything than I used to. So I've always liked to read, but somehow this year I've read over 50 books already, and I don't know how this happened. That does include graphic novels, but those are still over 100 pages. It's still a lot of reading and paying attention to do and finding the book. So I'm still spending a lot of time reading novels, fiction, nonfiction, poetry, everything. They're not all winners, but there are a lot of winners that I really like this year. And I tended to follow authors that I already liked. And I want to give you my top 10 favorite books from the first half of 2018. And then in December, I'll give you the back half. And then I won't talk about them all, but I'll compile a list as well of all my favorite. Rainbow Rowell was a new author that I was not familiar with, but heard about on the internet. I write for this fundraising site called Cannonball Read, where you review books and then based on ad sales and stuff, they accrue money for the American Cancer Society. A lot of the people on that site read romance or YA books, which neither one is something that I'm that familiar with, but they recommended Rainbow Rowell. So I gave it a shot. And I read three Rainbow Rowell books this year. The first is Attachments, which is not a YA book. It's more of a romantic comedy book. And it centers around this guy in his late 20s or early 30s who is an IT guy working the night shift at this newspaper around Y2K. And his job is to get the newspaper ready for Y2K. As part of his job, he also does security for the paper. And so he has to read everybody's emails if they flag for certain terms. I'll just leave it at that. But the book is very charming. And it is a romantic comedy of a book. But the thing I like the most about it is it just feels like a very real look at how people think and act and how sometimes we get stuck or we have to make sense. Is this what I want my life to look like? Or should it look like something else? What do I actually want out of life? The relationships within the family feel very real. The friendships feel very real. And that's what I really liked about her writing. Her most famous book is probably Eleanor and Park, which instead of being set in the late 90s, is set in the 80s. And it's about two teenagers. And one is kind of a social outcast and one works pretty well among all kinds of different social circles in high school. And they end up sitting on the bus together, Forrest Gump style. As you can tell from the book cover, they start dating. But the book is more about different ways to grow up, I think, than it is about the romance. One of the characters has a loving, comfortable home and the other character has a chaotic home. And Rowell does such a good job of showing how even at a young age, those different experiences shape your worldview and your assumptions so much. And then the last Rowell book I read this year was called Fangirl, which I identified with a lot, but it might have been my least favorite, maybe because it was too close to home. But it is about a pair of twins who basically write Harry Potter fan fiction. They graduate high school, they go to college, and in the first year of college, one of the twins doesn't want to live with the other one. She wants to do her own thing. The protagonist is the twin who has to make sense of life without her sister. Does she still want to write this Harry Potter fan fiction? Does she want a boyfriend? Does she get along with her roommate? What I loved about this one is that she, I wouldn't say she's innocent because they had kind of a rough go of it growing up, but she is not ready for everything that's going on in college yet. I remember writing in a journal when I was in high school that everyone around me is the Fonz and I feel like Ralph Malph. And that's kind of what fangirl feels like to me, where you don't really want to do all this stuff yet. Maybe you're not quite ready for the adult world, but there you are. So I think she's just a fantastic writer at capturing what it's like to grow up and what it's like to be at these, what's the word, precipices? Precipi? Of changes in your life. I really like that about her. She's a compassionate writer and also a very real writer and fun. The next writer I've been reading a lot of is Haruki Murakami, who is a 60-something Japanese writer who somehow, even though we're from different parts of the world and different generations, I feel like is a very much a kindred spirit. He's into noir, Bob Dylan, classical music. He's into jazz. We've got a lot of things in common that we like. He's into existentialism. The two books I've read from him so far this year, one was Hardboiled Wonderland and the End of the World, which is the title kind of tells you. Hardboiled Wonderland is this noir detective quippy half of the story. And then there's this other half of the story that's more fantastical, and they are interrelated and merged together. Or do they? I don't know. It's an experiential book. You'll have to read it to find out. But the book deals with genres I like and styles I like, but also themes I like. And it just really captured my attention. It's a big, fat book, and I tore through it. But I did not like that one as much as I liked Colorless Sakuru Tazaki and His Years of Pilgrimage, which is about a small group of friends who grew up in Japan. Most of them go to college in the same place because they're so close-knit, but one of them goes to school somewhere else. And something happens, and you're not sure what happens during college, where they shun him. And so he has to go live his life separate from them. Plot-wise, I don't know if I would say a ton happens in the book, but I just love the book. It was the craziest thing. I listened to an audiobook version of it. I would just wander around at night, walking through my neighborhood, listening to it and like looking up at the lights and the trees. And I love the way that his writing makes me feel. I think he's a fantastic writer just for the mood, if nothing else. And I think for some reason, reading that stuff shifted my worldview, which is a powerful thing for a writer to do. But I think that's part of why you read. Likewise, Your Illustrated Guide to Becoming One with the Universe by Yumi Sakugawa. This is a tiny little graphic novel that has 9 lessons and exercises for you to try to become more one with the universe. I've already written about this on the website, so you can see more about that at thetarantulalounge.net. A Climate for Change by Catherine Hayhoe. Her and her husband both actually are professors at Texas Tech, and they are evangelical, and they are climate change educators. I've got to confess, climate change is not something I know very much about. I'm a liberal arts guy, not a science guy. And so I just had a lot of questions and was interested in learning more from them because I saw a profile of her in Texas Monthly not too long ago. The book is hard to find for some reason. It's like 10 years old and I think it's out of print, even though I know it's sought after and she's sought after. But if you're a Christian curious about climate change, I recommend that book because her and her husband both are scientists, and she is on this she's a contributor to this award-winning international panel on climate change, so she knows a lot more about it than I do. Another nonfiction book I really liked was called Stiff by Mary Roach. It's about what happens to bodies when they die. Not necessarily just physically what happens, although that's covered, but the different ideas of what to do in terms of cremation, burial, the nuts and bolts of what happens if your organs are taken out or donated to science, and how doctors feel about working on corpses. It was just simultaneously eye-opening and funny at times and sad at times and just a book I would recommend if you like nonfiction. Another YA book, The End of a Trilogy. This book is called Always and Forever, Laura Jean, and it is by Jenny Han, and it is the third book in a series that is sort of like a much lighter version of Eleanor and Park. Much lighter. But the third book in the first book in the series is about this girl, I believe, starting high school or not very far into high school, and she had written all these love letters to guys she had crushes on throughout her life. And then somebody mails the letters without her knowing, and so she's got to deal with the fallout from that. It's kind of like the TV show Awkward and a Rainbow Roll story and just like a nice, pleasant growing up story. It's pretty clean. This is the third book, so she's finishing high school. And so it's a little more adult. It's a little, I don't want to say darker, but more grown up. But I think it also might have been the best one. Originally, there was not a plan for a sequel at all. Then Jenny Han, I think I remember saying, it's not going to be a trilogy. It feels like two books is right. But then she ended up making a third one. And it's going to be on Netflix soon. So I recommend reading that if you just like fluffy but good YA type books. Finally, rounding out the list, Super Sons, which is the only graphic novel on the list. I read a lot of comics, but I didn't love a lot of comics this year. Super Sons, though, I did love. It's by Peter J. Tomasi. And it is about Damian Wayne, which is Batman's kid, and John Kent, which is Clark Kent and Lois Lane's kid. And I think it's also geared towards a kind of a PG-13 teenager audience, but it is really bright. It looks young. The dialogue is young. The stakes are fairly low. But as somebody with kids, I love seeing how both Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent and Lois interact with their kids. Superman and Batman aren't actually in the book that much, but you can feel their presence in it a lot, and it's something that was kind of encouraging to me as a parent to know that even when you're not around, your kids are still thinking about your example and what you say and things like that. But the book is funny, and I just love how pure and good that Superman's family is and how much Bruce Wayne's kid wants to help, even if he's kind of a mess. There's about to be a third trade paperback and a giant hardcover to finish out the whole series, so you might want to wait on that. But of the 50 something books I read this year, those are my favorite 10. One other thing I wanted to mention, I got a new app on my phone called Echo. My buddy Justin told me about it, but it's a prayer app, and it's cool because you can write down a list of things you want to pray for, and then you can tell it how long you want to pray, and then it'll shuffle through everything. And so every day, basically, you can just like hit the pray button and then pray for all the things you want to pray for. And you can set reminders if you know, like, oh, my buddy's got a job interview at 10 tomorrow. If you want to pray at 9:50, you can just set it to do that. It is an instance where I think technology enhances your life, and it's not really a crutch or a distraction, but it really makes it easier to do something that, for me, is hard to be consistent on. So I recommend the Echo app, ECHO. This might be the longest Tarantula Lounge there's ever been, but I love talking about books, and I love talking about weird stuff like experiencing your life as sound and light and feel instead of narrative. What does that even mean? I don't know. But how do you guys experience life? I want to know. Anyway, thanks guys. Love you.